حل صح لي صدر لي أمر في وحل لقبة من لسان لي فوق. قولي رب زدني علما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعذب العلماء حفاظ كرام لزم الإسلام even on the face of this earth regardless of his color, creed or nationality of every human on the face of this earth in front of Allah. However, there are certain servants whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very passionately made reference as his beloved servants. By way of example, first to honor them as that is my boy, that is my son. It does not for a moment mean that the father does not love the other sons, that the other three boys are not his sons. But rather the son who has been most obliging and most obedient, the father refers to him as that is my boy, that is my son. Similarly, every human on the face of this earth is the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there are certain servants whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to as his beloved servants. In Quran also we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sinna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses shaitan, he says to him that shaitan, but you will try your utmost and level best with certain servants of mine. Those are my beloved servants. You will not succeed with them. Somewhere Allah says, ni'ma al-abdu innahu awwab. Regarding Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah says, what a beloved servant, what a splendid, magnificent servant Ayyub alayhi salam was. Somewhere Allah says, قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Tell my beloved servants. So now the question arises that who are these beloved servants of Allah? In the 19th para of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very explicitly highlights 13 qualities of those people who are the beloved servants of Allah. And the first quality is in the ayat kareema which I recited before you. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. And the beloved servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are those who walk on the face of this earth with utmost humbleness and humility. So the first requisite and the first condition for one to become the beloved servant of Allah is that he should walk on the face of this earth with utmost humbleness and humility. Now when we say walk with humbleness and humility, it does not for a moment suggest or advocate a slow, lethargic walk. This is not a walk of humbleness. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who seen one man walking very slow one day. He asked him, what's your problem? Are you sick of my brother? He said, no. Umar radiallahu ta'ala who gave him one and told him, walk fast. But it was just not the walk of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which depicted and portrayed humbleness and humility. If we look at the walk of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom explained and described his walk, that he had an upright, brisk walk. كَأَنَّهُ يَنزِلْ as if he was descending from a flight of stairs. But it was not just the walk of Nabi alayhi salam that portrayed humbleness and humility, but rather it was his entire lifestyle which was a total embodiment and an example of humbleness and humility. One day Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was seated in the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in an absolute humble posture, sitting on the floor. وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ طَبَخْ and in front of him he had a platter of food or plate of food and he was eating from there. And this woman happened to pass by and she looked at him and she glanced at him and she says, Unzuru ilayhi yajlisu kama yajlisu al-ab. Is this the man they say is the noblest of humanity, yet he sits on the floor and eats like a slave? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, call that woman and say to her that yes, I am a slave. Ana ajlisu kama yajlisu al-ab. I sit like how a slave sits. Ana akulu kama yakulu al-ab. I eat like how a slave eats. أَنَا لَا أَكُلُ مُتَّكِئًا. I will never lean or recline against something and eat. أَنَا أَكُلُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. I sit on the floor and I eat. أَنَا أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الْمَمْلُوكِ. I will accept the invitation and da'wat of beggars and slaves also. لَوْ دُعِيتُ إِلَىٰ كِرَاءٍ لَا أَجِبْتُ. If you invite me, you give me da'wat, and you prepare nothing but the shoulder of a sheep, I will accept your da'wat. If you give me a meager gift, I will accept your gift. I have no fuss. This was the Nabi of Allah. One day he was sitting with his Sahaba, and a person came, and this person now was absolutely dumbstruck at the awe-striking personality of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So how we would say, gabra ho gaye. This person became, you know, nervous in the presence of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this person lost his breath also. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam observes this, and he says, hawin alayhi, hawin alayhi. Relax. Relax, you don't have to be nervous. فَإِنَّمَا لَسْتُ بِمَلِكٍ I am not a king. And then the Nabi of Allah gave an introduction to himself. Allahu Akbar, what an introduction. Let us compare what introduction Nabi alayhi salam gave and what introduction we would have given to ourselves. No name would have been spared from us till Adam alayhi salam also, just so that somebody may know, I exist. My father was this person, my grandfather was this person, and we own this property, and we own this, and we own that. But look at the introduction that Nabi of Allah gave. Such maqam, such daraja, such status he enjoyed in this world and the hereafter. But what did he say? He introduced himself. أَنَبْنُ إِمْرَأَةٍ مِّنْ قُرَيْشِ تَأْكُلُ الْقَدِيمِ I'm an ordinary man of a simple woman of Quraysh who lived on eating dry meat. I'm an ordinary woman of a simple woman of Quraysh who lived on eating dry meat. Can we ever say the Nabi of Allah was an ordinary man? Could we ever say that the mother of Nabi alayhi salam was an simple, ordinary woman? There hasn't been a greater mother to give birth to a child other than the mother of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Like Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala who says, scholars write that there hasn't been anybody who has given a more comprehensive description of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam other than what Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala who said, أحسن من كلم ترى قد تعيني More magnificent, more excellent than you no eyes have ever seen. وأجمل من كلم تلد النساء More beautiful, more handsome than you, no woman has ever given birth to a child. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ You have been created free from every blemish and defect. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءَ As if you have been created, as if you told Allah how to create you. But yet the Nabi of Allah, what did he say? I'm an ordinary man of a simple woman of Quraysh. This is the introduction that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, Inna Allah nazara fi qulub al-ibad. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala searched the hearts of humanity. Then He selected my heart. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بِرِسَالَتِهِ وَانْتَخَبَهُ بِعِلْمِ And then, when it was time for Allah to crown me with prophethood, He sent Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam to me with one option, with one choice. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and he said, O Nabi of Allah, Allah has made faisla that you are his prophet. But he has given you one choice in the matter. Either you choose prophethood with a kingdom and dominion, or you choose prophethood with slavery. Then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, فَأَوْمَا إِلَيَّ جِبْرِيلِ Nabi alayhi salam says that Jibreel indicated me. That تَوَاضَعْ لِرَبِّكِ O Nabi of Allah, whatever you choose, Allah will respect it. But it is my humble opinion that just say humbleness before your Rabb. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, yes, O Jibreel, bal nabiyin abda. It was exactly what I was going to choose. I want to live as a prophet and I want to live as a slave at the same time. I choose prophethood with slavery. That is why the Nabi of Allah, he said, la tarfauni fawqa qadri, O my sahaba, do not elevate me beyond my position and my maqam. فَتَقُولُ فِيَّ مَا قَالَتِ النَّصِي So much so that you will start saying what the Nasara say regarding Isa alayhi salam. أَتُفَضِّلُونِ عَلَى يُونُسِ بْنِ مَتَّى O my Sahaba, do not constantly chant the slogans that are nobler than Yunus alayhi salam. Although Allah has made me nobler than him. I, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَنِي عَبْدًا لَا يَتَّخَذَنِي رَسُولًا Verily Allah has made me first his servant, and then he has made me his Nabi. Once the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they said to Nabi alayhi salam, or they asked him, that O Nabi of Allah, often we find ourselves, we present ourselves in the courts of kings and emperors, and we find that when his people come in, they are out of a token of respect, they bow down to him. O Nabi of Allah, we find that you are most deserving of this respect. We don't have to make sajda to you obviously, but O Nabi of Allah, can you give us some action that we may do, that we may express our respect to you, we may offer our respect towards you, then we may sit in your majlis. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, O my sahaba, هَذَا تَفْعَلُهُ الْأَعَاجِمُ بِمُلُوكِهَا This is what the kuffar and disbelievers do with their kings. O my sahaba, to start off, I am not a king. O my sahaba, to start off, I am not a king. Once Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam heard his sahaba discussing, and one sahabi said, so strange, you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his creation he took a friend, Ibrahim alayhi salam, And then another sahabi said, you know, Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. And then another sahabi said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Isa his ruh. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam overheard this discussion and he came out and he said, my sahaba, 100% what you are saying is true. Inna Ibrahim khalilullah, wa Musa kalimullah, wa Isa ruhullah. Sahaba, but let me tell you, ana habibullahi wala fakhar. Oh my sahaba, I say this without an iota of pride. I am the beloved of Allah. And oh my sahaba, let me tell you, liwa'u alhamdi biyadi yawm al-qiyama. My sahaba, let me tell you, the banner will be on my, in my hand on the day of qiyama. Kullu nasi tahta liwa'i. Adam alayhi salam and his entire progeny till the day of qiyama will be standing under my banner. Ana awwalu man yuharriku bab al-jannah. I will be the first to knock on the door of Jannah. Fayuftah li, and it will be open up for me. And oh my sahaba, let me tell you without an iota of pride, I say this, I will be the first to enter Jannah. No prophet of Allah can enter, can set foot in Jannah until I do not enter. This was the Nabi of Allah, respected elders and friends. But yet so much of humbleness and so much of humility. So the first quality of one to become the beloved servant and the beloved friend of Allah is that he should walk on the face of this earth with utmost humbleness and humility. And coupled with that, in the same breath, those who are the most liked by Allah and those who are the enemies of Allah are those who walk around with like by you, O Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Musa, those who have four qualities in them. Man takabbara qalbuhu, those people who have pride in their heart. Wa ghaluza lisanuhu, and those who have foul speech, those whose tongue is foul. Wa da'ufa yaqeenuhu, and those whose yaqeen is weak. Wa bakhilat yaduhu, and those who are stingy. O Musa, these people, these four types of people are the most disliked by me. Those who have pride in their heart, those who are foul in their speech, those who have weak yaqeen, and those who are stingy with their wealth. The hadith of Asma bint Umays, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Nabi alayhi salam says, بِئْسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ تَخَيَّلَ وَاخْتَالَ وَنَسِيَ الْكَبِيرَ الْمُتَعَالَ. Evil indeed is that servant who displays pride and forgets that the garment of pride belongs to Allah. بِئْسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ تَجَبَّرَ وَعْتَدَى. Evil indeed is that servant who displays arrogance and might and forgets that the Almighty is Allah. بِئْسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ سَهَى وَلَهَى وَنَسِيَ الْمَقَابِرَ وَالْإِلَى. Evil indeed is that servant who lives a life heedless and oblivious and forgets the grave and its loneliness. بِئْسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ عَصَى وَتَغَى وَنَسِيَ الْمُبْتَدَى وَالْمُنْتَهَى. Evil indeed is that servant who rebels and forgets the beginning and the end. بِئْسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ إِنْ يَقُودُهُ. Evil indeed is that servant who is driven by greed, and equally evil indeed is that servant who is driven by lust. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam in a hadith, he says, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِّنْ كِبْرٍ. That person who has an iota of pride in his heart will never enter in the Jannah. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked, O Nabi of Allah, what if I'm a person who likes to be neat and tidy, prim and proper? I like to have neat clothes, new clothes. وَشِرَاكُ نَعْلِ جَدِيدٍ. Oh my Nabi, what if I'm a person who even up till my shoelace also I like it to be neat and tidy and clean and new? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, oh my sahaba, this is not pride. Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Indeed Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Inna Allaha yuhibbu ayyara asara ni'matihi ala abdihi. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see His servant expressing the bounty which He gave them upon themselves. If you buy a gift for somebody and you see him putting it into good use, how happy you will become. In a similar way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us bounties, has given us the ni'mat, and Allah loves to see that we express these ni'mat upon ourselves. So, O my sahaba, this is not pride. O my sahaba, let me set the record straight and tell you what is pride. What was the definition of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of pride? He says, Al-kibru basrul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. Is batrul haqqi is denial of the truth. Many of us, we find that this pride has entered into us so badly that we are never ever wrong. It's either my way or the highway. We are never ever wrong. This is denial of the truth. The Nabi of Allah said there is no Jannah for you because there is pride in your heart. Batrul haqqi, denial of the truth. Another example, we are having an elaborate function. No expense is spared for our last daughter or first daughter. And one bajisa from the masjid comes and he says, oh my brother, you know what? It is not my daughter, it is not my money. But this is going against the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What do we tell him? This is not your daughter, this is not your mom. Tell her, this is pride, there is no Jannah for you. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ Pride in essence, to deny the truth. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ And to consider others to be inferior to you. The automatic result of which is that we walk around with an obsession about ourselves, that we are somebody. The automatic result of which is that this pride comes into our hearts and this ego comes into our hearts. And we develop this opinion about ourselves. This is the pride which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam defined. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum. Indeed, the thing I fear the most upon you is that when you will become obsessed with yourselves. وَمَنْ قَالَ أَنَا عَالِمٌ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ So much so that the person who says, I'm an alim, he's a jahil. وَمَنْ قَالَ أَنَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ And the person who says, I'm in Jannah, he's actually in Jahannam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the riwayat of Bazzar, he mentions, لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا لَخَشِيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَا هُوَ أَكْبَرُ مِنْهُ O my Sahaba, even if you were sinless, O my Sahaba, if you were not to fear that a sin greater than all sins would have gripped you, and that is pride and an obsession over the fact that you are sinless. O my Sahaba, I fear that a sin greater than all sins would have gripped you, and that is pride and obsession over the fact that you are sinless. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed salvation in two things and He has placed destruction in two things. The two things in which He placed salvation is at-taqwa wa niyyah, good endeavors, good niyat, good intentions. That is one. The second thing is the fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-taqwa, fearing Allah wa niyyah and good intentions. And the two things in which Allah has placed destruction is despondency. We find today the aim of the media is to advocate despondency in the hearts of the believers. That we will say to Allah, that Allah, how can you do this? Oh Allah, how can you allow this to happen? This is the aim of the media. But a true believer never loses hope in the mercy of Allah. A true believer never becomes despondent from the mercy of Allah. Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he separated from his son Yusuf for a period of 80 years. In this time, he cries and he grieves so much that he loses his eyesight. He still makes dua to Allah. In the process, he loses his second son Binyamin. And he still carries on crying and asking Allah to return his children. In the process, he loses his third son. We are making dua to Allah for this tunnel to come to an end, but it is becoming darker. But a true believer, look at the spirit of this Nabi and this Prophet of Allah. He never loses hope in the mercy of Allah. He says, Ya Bani Yadhabu, Fata'assasu Umi Yusuf. You and go and search for Yusuf and his brothers. Do not become despondent and do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. For verily those who lose hope in the mercy of Allah are none but the disbelievers. So despondency will destroy the ummah. And the second thing is pride, this obsession, al-i'jab, this obsession about oneself, this pride, this ego, this walking around with an obsession, this walking around with an attitude. Brothers, the world has become so hungry for fame and name and fame, that we find people are even excelling in evil just to be on record that so and so person existed, the fattest person in the world, the person with the longest nails in the world, the person with the longest hair in the world, just so people can recognize that such and such person existed in such and such part of the world. We learn from ahadith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the one who drops his pants below his ankles, he is a proud man. Now let us set the record straight and understand this hadith, respected elders and friends. Because there is a misconception going around. Because there is some other ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam where he says that the one who drops his pants below his ankles out of pride will enter into Jahannam. So what do we say? What argument? All of a sudden we became muhaddiseen, you know. We can translate and understand ahadith all of a sudden without going to madrasa also. We say, no, don't worry. I am dropping my pants below my ankles with no pride. Allahu Akbar, you can see what's in your heart. The Nabi of Allah, if there was one person on the face of this earth who we can say possessed not an iota of pride, we can safely say that that was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But yet not one day he made this claim and dropped his pants below his ankles. Who are we to say, I don't have pride? You don't judge me. You don't judge me. It's what inside that counts. Oh my brother, what you are doing outside. Sing against the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Respected elders and friends, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the one who has an iota of pride will never enter Jannah. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. Now let us explain this ahadith. One sin, some of us may think, one sin, how can it stop me from going into Jannah? Because this one sin becomes an obstacle from many other good avenues also. Number one, you will not greet people. We will wait for people to greet us. And we will say, that man got no akhlaq, that man got no character, he don't greet. Who he thinks he is? Why are you waiting to be greeted? Nabi alayhi salam said, Al-Badiyu bis salam bariya min al-kibr. That person who starts salam, that person who gives salam first, he is free from pride. But we're waiting for people to make salam to us. The people are not the problem. We are the problem. The kibar and fakhr is in our heart. So here we find kibar will become an obstacle for us to make salam amongst people. Second thing where it becomes an obstacle is, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, ask for jannat, ask, make maaf, ask for forgiveness and jannat is yours. You will find that a proud man will never ask for maaf. He will not ask makhluk for maaf. How is he going to ask khaliq for maaf? A proud man, it is below his dignity to ask for maaf. That is why jannat he will not get. The third example, just giving a few examples. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we have been exhorted in ahadith to visit the sick person. Where will you find a proud man going and visiting the sick? A proud man, it is below his dignity to go and visit his employee who is below him. I'm just using one example, employer and employee. Any other person for that matter. A proud man will never go to the location and visit the sick people. A proud man will never go to some suburb and visit some poor person. So this also is becoming an obstacle for people to go into Jannah also. This one guna, this one sin of pride and fakhr becomes an obstacle for many other good avenues. So we find ulama explain that it is one guna, but it is ummul amrad, it is the mother of all evils. Now respected elders and friends, we find that there are various types of pride. One was pride against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the disbelievers, where shaitan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. All the malaika, they prostrated to Adam, except Adam. Was not the first crime committed against Allah that of pride? قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِّنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِّنْ تِينٍ. Oh Allah, you have created me from fire and you have created him from sand. I am better than him. So this is one type of pride against Allah. Then we find pride against the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Pride against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. When Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, he invited the kuffar that time to come and sit in his majalis of deen. They said, كَيْفَ نَجْلِسُ عِنْدَكَ وَعِنْدَكَ هَاوْلَىٰ. O Nabi of Allah, O Muhammad, how do you expect us to sit in front of you when these poor people are sitting in front of you? This is pride against the Nabi of Allah. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, of the things which was most accepted by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was that daily he used to take out time to sit with the poor people. Salman Farsi becomes the governor of Medina, and one day one person mistook him to be a laborer and he asked him, oh my brother, can you help me? I want to take this load into Medina. Salman Farsi never say, who are you? You asking me? You something wrong with you? He picked up the load, he put it on his back and he's walking into Medina. The believers that time, the mu'mineen that time, they saw what was going on. When they saw Hazrat Salman Farsi coming, they ran towards him and they said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, what are you doing? So this person who asked for the favor, he held his ears and he said, lifelong, I won't ask anybody, I won't burden anybody. Look whom I have burdened today. I have burdened the governor, Amirul Mu'mineen. But look, my beloved brothers, this was the humble nature of both Sahaba and Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Ulama have written, respected elders and friends, that there are few reasons why pride will come into a person. We'll just give these few examples and then we'll close, inshallah. Number one is that of knowledge. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prophesied that the time will come when people will read the Quran also, and they will say, man akra'u minna, who can read the Quran better than us? If you apply hadith in other faculties, life also it applies. Today you take your car by this one mechanic, no offense to any mechanics. If you take your car to this one mechanic this week, and then the problem is not solved, you go to another mechanic, and you say, hey, buddy, you know what, I took this car last week by this person, but it's still not right. He says, oh yeah, that man don't know nothing. That man don't know anything. We consider ourselves superior to others. This is pride. Nabi alayhi salam said, there is no jannat for us. This is pride, when you feel other people inferior to you and you feel yourself superior to others. So knowledge, one reason why pride will enter into our heart is through knowledge. And the next one is that of piety. We find the people today, alhamdulillah, they give a lot in charity also, and people go out a lot in the path of Allah also. But we have been exhorted in Quran that jahidu bi amwalihim wa anfusihim, that you should strive with both these things. Why ulama say, and why have we been exhorted that we should strive with both things? Because if you give one thing, then pride will enter your heart. That I built that masjid, I built that madrasa, I built that, I sent that person for hajj, I sent that person for umrah. Because you're only giving money. So if you give one thing, pride will enter into your heart. And if you do the other thing, you will become a greedy person. You will be ready for the sponsorship of people. For people, I am ready. You give the money, I'll go. So we have been exhorted to do both the things. Then we will find true piety entering into our heart. That is another reason why pride will enter into our hearts through piety. Another reason, one person, he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 70 years. One person from Bani Israel, he worshipped Allah for 70 years. And one day he picked up his hand and he made dua to Allah, and Allah didn't accept his dua. And then he said, you are so useless. You are so useless. That one day you asked Allah for something, he didn't accept your dua. There's something wrong with you, you are useless. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately sent an angel to tell him, إِنَّ سَاعَتَكَ الَّتِي إِذَّرَيْتَ نَسَّكَ, O my slave, O my banda, that one moment that you admonished yourself and you shouted yourself and you scolded yourself was better than your 70 years of ibadah. Another reason why pride will enter into our heart is through wealth. Today we find, we take our brothers, we take our friends, we take our connections, you know, when we build our new house, that this is what I built, this is what I did. Pride will enter into our heart through wealth. Have we forgotten the qissa of those two brothers of Bani Israel, where they had a very wealthy father and he passed away, and they inherited his legacy and his estate. And one brother invested the money in the akhirat, one brother invested the money in the dunya. And after some time they had met, and the brother who had invested in the dunya, he took this brother of his now, he said, let me show you what I invested. You invested in the akhirat, that is your problem, you're going to suffer. Let me show you what I invested in, this is what I invested this year. So then the brother who invested in the akhirat, he kept quiet, he didn't say anything. Eventually in the end of the conversation, the brother who invested in the akhirat, he said, oh my brother, I have no problem with your wealth. I have no problem with your wealth, but I have a problem with your attitude. Oh my brother, if you are using this to base as the basis of honor, oh my brother, I fear that one day Allah is going to give me a better garden than you. And oh my brother, I fear that one day Allah will take away all these things from you. The very next day, Allah sent a divine torment and took everything of this brother away. And then he woke up in the morning and he said, Ya laytani lam ushrik bi rabbi ahada. Why did I even ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The next reason why pride will come into our heart is through beauty. We find women today, they say, she couldn't even say I look nice, she's so nasty, you know. Allahu Akbar, you waiting for compliment? Imam Ghazali rahimahullah in his Ishya'ul Ulumuddin, he mentioned that this pride, or this reason for pride, is found generally in women. This is found generally in women. This was written many, many years ago, you know. So today, Imam Ghazali or Rahmatullahi, maybe he would even say that this is found in men also. Today we find men sitting in front of the mirror for hours and admiring themselves and obsessing about themselves. Have we forgotten Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day he came in the house and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had put on a beautiful garment and she was admiring herself. She's a girl. Naturally, so Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked her, Ma tanzurina ya Aisha, fa inna Allah laysa binazirin ilayk. Oh Aisha, what are you admiring? For verily Allah is not admiring you. So then she asked, oh my father, why not? He says, don't you know, Aisha, that when you will put on something like this, and you will develop this attitude that I am better than somebody, Allah will abandon you till you don't abandon this pride. So pride will come through beauty also. Food for thought for the young, for the youngsters. The riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٍ يَمْشِي تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُهُ مُرَجِّلٌ رَأْسَهُ, that a man once walked the earth and he was walking with an obsession about himself and he combed his hair very nicely. Today we find the youth, they're flashing around with cars which don't even belong to them. That car belongs to the garage. When you send your car to the garage, something is broken. Courtesy car. He's flashing with that courtesy car also. And he's looking at you that, hey, what are you looking at? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah looked down from the arsh, and Allah told the earth to split and swallow this man. وَهُوَ يَتَجَلْجَلُ فِيهَا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and he will continue to be swallowed in the earth until the day of Qiyamah. Last one, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that pride will enter into a heart of the believers through strength. Have we forgotten the qissa of Aad? They said, Man ashaddu minna, who is stronger than us? Today we find that many people have this hobby, you know, and we respect their hobbies. We have no problem with weightlifters. We have no problem with the guys who pick up weight. But only thing we have a problem is with the sleeveless vest. Why must you show that muscle? In the shop they didn't have extra large. Why you have to buy a small t-shirt? This is the only problem we have. We don't have a problem with you. Say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed those interests also. So we don't have a problem with your weightlifting. We only have a problem with those sleeveless shirts and those protruding muscles, respected elders and friends. So, have we forgotten what Allah also said? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Have they not seen and recognized and understood that the one who gave them their strength is stronger than them? The one who gave them that quwwah is got more quwwah than them? True strength, respected elders and friends, is when a semi-nude woman walks past you and you drop your gaze. That is true strength. True strength is, we heard it 10 and 10 of times, that when you pick up your blanket at the time of Fajr. This is true strength. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He free our souls and He free our hearts from kibar and fakr and pride. Ulama explain that do two things and it will drop your pride. Constantly remember our gunas, our sins. Constantly remember our gunas and sins. And number two, we should always feel that whatever ni'mat Allah has given us, we are unworthy. We are not deserving of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We will find that inshallah, summa inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will drop our pride in our heart. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make us from amongst those humble, beloved servants of His. For verily those who are humble, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate them to the skies. And those who have pride, arrogance and haughtiness, they will sink in the world. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thank you. تصاعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. فنحمده حمدا كثيرا كلما يحمده الحامدون، ونشكره شكرا جميلا كلما يشكره الشاكرون. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له شهادة تنفعنا يوم القيامة يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي يغبطه الأولون والآخرون. أما بعد، فيا أيها الناس أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. ويقول الله عز وجل: وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من تواضع لله رفعه الله. وقال أيضا: لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول وبقوله يهتدي المهتدون وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. هذا وأحثكم على طاعة الله وطاعة رسوله، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد خسر وغوى. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا، رضوان الله تعالى عليهم وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غردا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأعظم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وأموالنا من الربا وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انا نسالك من كل خير ما سالك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وانت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول لنا ولا قوه لنا الا بك يا الله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.